Today, this Sunday, is known as Good Shepherd Sunday, where we celebrate and recognize what Jesus proclaims himself to be, which is the Good Shepherd. It's a powerful analogy, and it's one that speaks spiritually, not earthly, but spiritually, to an intimate relationship that is available to us with the triune God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus notes that those who follow him know his voice, and they will not listen to another voice. Spiritually speaking, that means that those who are his disciples, seeking to be formed by him in the depths of their conscience and intellect, with all that he is handing on in truth, through divine revelation, and through the book of nature which he wrote, that they will come to recognize in a sincere way the path of holiness as laid out by the Lord, by which he invites us to live authentically as holy sons and daughters of God. And by that gift, he also bestows upon us a grace that he speaks of, that he has come to give life and give it abundantly, so that we do not have to rely merely on our own strength of will to follow that path, but that we have his very divine life radiating as a gift within us, so that we have everything necessary: intellect, free will, the strength of God, to help us become more than we are, even as living images of God. And what a beautiful, precious gift that is. It means that when the world, which can have its own voice, tries to pull us away from that path, we can recognize it. We can say, that's not an authentic voice. That's one that is either coming from outside to pull me away, distract me, lead me down the wrong path, or it's one that's coming from within, from the imperfection of the soul, in a part of me that I still need to give over to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your strength here. We also have the great confidence and knowledge through the Paschal mysteries that we celebrated in Holy Week and continue to rejoice in during this Easter season, that should we happen to follow those other voices, our conscience can identify that. And we can learn to run through an examination of conscience to the sacrament of reconciliation, that should we have fallen in a grave way, we can be restored by the mercy and the tender compassion of our Lord through that precious sacrament of reconciliation, so that we never have to live apart from that interior strength that God pours into, or rather floods into, our souls. What a precious gift. That is why he's also given us the gift of the sacrament of holy orders. Today we celebrate throughout the world National or World Day of Prayer for Vocations. And it's meant to, on one part, recognize that when God calls us to himself as his disciples, his learners, his followers, he imparts a special grace to us, and he has a plan and a calling in mind for each of us. Many will be enjoined in holy matrimony and be given the grace through that precious sacrament to live out the marital commitment that man and woman make to one another, bound together and forming a family. And then taking their faith home and building in their home the domestic church where God reigns. Does it mean that their lives are always easy? Challenges come and go, but they know that they can rely on the strength of the sacrament they've received. And in so much as they strive to build up within themselves a unity with the Lord, their own unity will flourish. He's also given us and blessed some with a calling to consecrated religious life, to be sister or brother, with a particular charism to which that individual is called or enjoined through their order in which they thrive spiritually and seek to serve the mysteries of God in the life of the church, sometimes in a cloistered way, dedicated to praying fervently for all of us. To know that we have the Poor Clare sisters in Alexandria, that we have the Dominican sisters in Linden, and the brothers in Berryville, who are praying ceaselessly for you and me. So that those times when we're active in the apostolate and we don't have the time to dedicate beyond our normal daily devotional prayers and worship, others are fervently praying for us. And we can ask the Lord to hear their prayers for us, to be drawn into their life. Others will have an active apostolate to go out and hand on what they've received. Maybe teach in schools or work in hospitals, go out into the world and make visible through the witness of his or her life the living presence and power of God to all they encounter. Then there will be some who are called to the sacrament of holy orders, permanent deacons, and priests. The mystery of the sacrament of holy orders is profound because it's not something that we have a right to, even as men. But it's something that must be invoked and called by God, gifted and confirmed by the church in discernment. I look back at I'm going to share a little bit of my own vocational story because there's an element that I think is important when it comes to discernment just in the life of the church and how it works. When I came into the church about a year later, something changed and invoked within me. Been praying. Been spending a lot of time with my peers in campus ministry at George Mason. And this weird phenomenon started to happen where my peers and some adults were coming up and saying, "Have you ever thought about being a priest?" No. No, I had not. I said, "Well, I think you might be called, and I just want to let you know if you are, I would definitely support that." That was startling to me. Why are they saying this? I think part of it was easy because I was dating and discerning marriage. And it just seemed like this strange invocation that was coming from some that I knew well and some that I didn't know well. And in that context, one day I was watching this old program on EWTN called Life on the Rock that was meant for young adults. And Jeff Cavins had he was hosting three Nashville Dominican sisters on his program. And one of them was the director of vocations. And he asked her, how does someone know if they have a vocation? And she said, well, first, the individuals had thoughts about it themselves. And in this moment, all of a sudden, in my mind, I was recalling a phenomenon that was happening to me, whereby I was sitting at Mass, watching the priest celebrate Mass and preaching, and recalling that I was repeatedly saying within my own mind, I could never do that. I could never do that. I could never do that. And it dawned on me in that brief moment, like a flash of a moment, the only reason I'm saying this to myself is because I'm obviously thinking about doing that. It's there. And then she said, number two, other people have seen it in you and they've said something. What? I was on the edge of my seat. She said, number three, you're called to holy orders or perpetual vows in a community, meaning the church confirms the experience of prayer and drawing towards the Lord in a vocation that you are sensing. And I knew in a moment I needed to take this a lot more seriously than I had been. It was time for me to truly do what we hear young men and women and others doing when it comes to vocational thinking, to discern, which means to prayerfully engage with the Lord in a guided way with a priest or with a brother or with a sister, depending on who we are and what we might be experiencing our call to be, to formally engage in conversation with both God and the church, to test out, is what I'm experiencing real or just in my mind and heart? We need both together to discern properly. And I think that is part of why we have this day set aside, so we can pray. So we can pray for men and women who God is calling, and He never ceases to call in every age. We need more sisters. We need more brothers. We need more priests. And God is calling many. So what can we do? We pray, first of all, that those to whom He's calling respond. Secondly, that we have an encouraging heart. That if we see within someone some of those gifts that God might be calling them to use in such a vocation, that we say something. Yes, it can be hard and sacrificial if we are parents or grandparents, looking at our children or grandchildren and seeing something within them, and what it means to live a celibate vocation. But God does not call us to something that makes us miserable. He calls us to something that fulfills us, that will sustain us and make us happy. Poll after poll has shown that the number one discouraging factor for a woman discerning consecrated life or a man doing so or priesthood his parents or grandparents. My parents aren't Catholic. And my mother, who was very attuned to, as mothers can be, to their children, she started to suspect, even though I had not said anything, that some sort of discernment towards priesthood was going on. And so she started to ask me on a regular basis, sometimes multiple times a week, "Are you thinking about being a priest?" I wouldn't answer. I'd change the subject or minimize the question. As time got on and I knew that this was what was going on within me and I was discerning, in my prayer life, I started to feel convicted. I need to say something when she asks. And so one day I remember in holy hour in prayer, I said, "All right, Lord, I promise you, the next time she asks, I will tell her the honest answer directly." God has a sense of humor when you pray like that. And she asked that very evening. And I said, "It is a definite possibility." And she told me in that moment that she was adamantly opposed. That she couldn't see me happy in the priestly life. That's what parents and grandparents worry about for their children and grandchildren. They want to see them happy. When you look at the presbyterate of our diocese, all the priests, look at how happy they are. They love our Lord. They love the parishes they serve, the people of God. And Jesus' promise has come to life in theirs, that those who give up marriage and family for the sake of the heavenly kingdom will be blessed 7 to 100-fold. I've lost count of the number of conversations I've had with my brother priest in this diocese where all we talk about is the 100-fold blessing and the humble privilege that we share in to serve God's people and to seek to serve them generously in imitation of Christ, the Good Shepherd. Sometimes people will think it's a wasted life. Look at other gifts and talents the person could be doing. What's more precious? Celebrating the Eucharist, holding Jesus in our hands and sharing him with a congregation. Would a soul who's in desperate need of mercy and a sacrament of reconciliation and receives it feel that that man's life was wasted? A soul who is sick and dying, who is anointed with the grace of the sacrament of the sick, feel that that life was wasted? Or what about those who were cared for by sisters and brothers in desperate moments of need? They feel that life was wasted? Indeed not. My brothers and sisters, the good news is that my mother did a 180. Remember the day she got a letter from Father Gould, who's the director of the vocations office, asking for a letter of recommendation. She and I were discussing alone, and she told me she had received the letter and said, "What if I don't recommend you? So maybe you shouldn't think about it that way." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, what do you know about me? What do you really know about the priesthood, and is there a fit?" And she didn't respond. She just got quiet. A couple of days later, one morning, as I was getting ready to go off to classes, I heard her call to me, and I approached her, and she had this 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper in her hand. She said, "I want to read something to you." And it was her letter to Father Gould. and Bishop Laverde at the time. She said, I don't understand what he means when he says he feels called, but I've always seen him doing something like this with his life, which is why I think she feared my discernment. She saw it before I did. And through the years of my seminary formation and getting to know seminarians and then who became priests and liking them and seeing their flourishing lives, she then went from being adamantly opposed to amazingly supportive. That's what we need to be in the life of the church. Amazingly supportive. Priests who feel supported are also reciprocal of their generosity and support, and vice versa. We're the mystical body of Christ, the church. Everybody has their part to play in the life of evangelization and allowing the faith on earth to flourish and accompany one another. But Christ has blessed us each with being our own person, giving us gifts and vocations so that we can come together as a communion of persons, relying on one another spiritually and humanly at times, so that we can get through this pilgrim journey and enter one day into the fullness of the kingdom of heaven. What a precious gift we've been given. And not taking it for granted, may we pray fervently and seek to support one another, and especially ask the Lord to give strength to those who he has called to sacred ministry, but also the courage for those he continues to call to say, yes, Lord, I will come, I will follow, and I will lay my life down, as you have, for the good of others in this world.